I have one verse for the scripture reading today. There's quite a lengthy story that goes behind it all, but rather I'll tell that story in the message. But there's one verse that I just want to focus on for the scripture reading that will be the focal point of the message, and that's 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. It's a story in the middle of the life of David. It says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Let's pray. God, today we thank you that you're our source. You're our source of strength, of encouragement, of hope and peace and all that we need most. You're the source. Thank you, Lord, that today you're also the source of grace. That love that we don't deserve. Lord, blessings that we could never earn. Yet they come to us from you. And we could never thank you enough. God, we thank you for that grace that silences the accuser, that assures us that you, our Heavenly Father, love us no matter what we've done and how we failed. And we just confess, Lord, we have failed, and we've done and thought and said wrong in ways that we don't even fully realize. But thank you for your grace. God, today we thank you that our faith can rise above the evening news and focus on the good news of a Savior. And Lord, we just thank you that we can live in that place of being more than overcomers, being conquerors because of the good news of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the ministry of Mahaffey Camp, family camp this week, and just all the Christian camps that are ministering, and Lord, just be at work through all of them, and we just thank you for all that you're going to do. God, we pray for rain. It is so dry, and we need rain, and we pray too for, there's evidently a brush fire in Alexandria that they're having trouble getting under control, and we just pray that you would help those that are fighting that and get that under control, and we pray that you would bring us rain. Lord, we pray that in the literal sense, and we pray that in the figurative sense of the rains of revival. Lord, just pour out, God, your presence, your blessing, renewing us spiritually. Lord, the church here in the United States needs that. The church around the world needs that. And we've been focusing on Poland this month. Lord, we pray for many churches there have become museums. And Lord, it's post-Christian in so many ways. But Lord, breathe life and renew that parched ground in Poland spiritually and bring it to life again as only you can do, Lord God. And Lord, today, renew us by the power of your word and its power in our lives. We just ask you to speak to our hearts through your spirit, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know, before I begin this week's message, after last week's message, I told that story about my friend Paul and pouring the cold water on him in the shower at camp. And I was surprised how many of you asked if Paul ever got me back. You're just so focused on revenge. I'll have to pray for you. But actually, the answer is no. He hasn't gotten me back for that yet. So either he's a whole lot more gracious than I am, or he's still plotting, and I'm not sure which. So, well, I guess time will tell. All right, we've got an image to show you. There he is. This is a British weightlifter named Eddie Hall, and not long ago, He broke a record. He was the first man to lift 500 kilograms. That is over a half ton, 1,102 pounds to be exact. He did that in the deadlift, where he just brings it up that far. And that's a lot of weight. That's a strong person. He actually burst a blood vessel somewhere in his body in doing this, and he passed out right after it happened. But he's okay now. So I guess this guy gets bragging rights, the world's strongest guy, at least for that event. As you know, there's a lot of products out there that so many advertisements, you get tired of seeing them on the computer, for things to make you strong physically, to build muscle, protein powders, and all kinds of secret formulas. A lot of people evidently want to be strong physically. I wonder how many people are as interested in spiritual strength, because it really is of infinitely greater value. And David, King David, is such an inspirational character throughout Scripture, a true giant of the faith. He was evidently in pretty good shape physically, at least part of his life. But what we see way, way more of is his spiritual strength. We see that early on in his life when he was praising God in the fields as he tended sheep, strumming his harp, composing psalms. And really, if you think about it, that's kind of unique in a culture, in a society where worship was focused on the tabernacle, was focused on the house of God and the sacrifices there. But David wasn't against all of that. He just didn't need to be there to worship God. He knew that he could turn his heart to God wherever he was, out in the field, and connect with God there. I wonder how much that might have had to do with his courage in defending the sheep and killing wild predators with his bare hands, right? As we hear stories of that. Then, of course, came the day when the prophet Samuel came to his father's house. And after going through all the brothers that he thought, oh, maybe this is going to be the next king, maybe that one. No. And they got David out of the field and they anointed him to be the next king of Israel. Wow. He didn't see that coming. I mean, completely unexpected to everyone. Well, David didn't just waltz right from the shepherd's field and into the palace. In fact, there were about 10 to 13 years, the best that we can determine, between when he was anointed to be the next king and when he actually took the throne and ruled. And in those years, all right, 10 to 13 years probably, he endured more difficulty and persecution and rejection than most people do in a lifetime. Now, before I explain more about that, you know, King Saul, whom David replaced, he didn't have that weight. He didn't have those trials. He took the throne pretty quickly after he was anointed. And I wonder if that ease of circumstances has anything to do with the lack of character that he shows later on. That lack of character that became his downfall. I'm not sure if that's the case, but I am sure that God wanted somebody with greater strength and more character for the next king of Israel. And how does one obtain that strength? Usually through difficulty. And David was soon to have plenty of that. You know, after he was anointed to be king, at first things went really wonderfully for David, seemingly. After he was anointed, he went to work for King Saul and strummed his harp for him in the royal palace there. And then he killed the giant Goliath. And got to marry the king's daughter. I mean, you know, things were looking pretty good for him. So far, so good. But then, of course, Saul got word of that song that the ladies were singing. They were singing that Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And an ugly, murderous jealousy rose up in him. And he tried on more than one occasion to drive a spear through David's heart. And it became clear that David needed to leave town for a while. Little did he know he was going to be leaving town for years. He faced rejection by his people. At different times, he went to a village to see if he could be safe there from Saul, and they were going to rat him out, and he wasn't safe there. He camped out in the wilderness, and we're told that his friends became those who went to the wilderness to join him because either they were in serious debt, they were in distress of some sort, or they were discontented for some reason. So he was counted with the outsiders of society. But those guys, David led them well, and they became a force to be reckoned with. In fact, at least four of these guys that followed David, they went on to kill giants themselves. So Pastor Bill Johnson said, hey, if you want to kill giants, just follow a giant killer. I think that's pretty good advice. There was a time when David went to the Philistines, the enemies of God's people, and he pretended to be loyal to them. And he offered to fight with their army, but they didn't trust him. You know it's a bad day when even your enemies don't want you. But David and his men and their families, they were staying in a town called Ziklag. And after being rejected by the king, Saul, being rejected by his own people, then being rejected by his enemies, the Philistines, he and his men then turned to go back home to the town of Ziklag where their families were. But they found out that while they were gone, there was a different group of people, the Amalekites. They had attacked Ziklag, their town. They had burned it to the ground. And they took their wives, their children, their possessions away. And David and his friends, again, try to imagine this, try to picture this. David and his friends walk through the smoldering rubble of what was their town and their homes, and it's gone. Everything. Everything and everyone that they held dear is gone. Can you even begin to imagine how David is feeling at this point? I mean, that is more rejection and loss added to the rejection than we could expect anyone to bear. But wait, it gets worse. When David's men, his loyal friends, who had been with him through a lot of trials, and he'd led them through so much, in their shock, in their grief, and it says, after they had wept until they had no tears left, no strength left to wail, they turned on David. And the Bible says that they talked about stoning him to death right then and there. I mean, hey, when things go bad, you have to blame someone, right? You might as well blame the guy at the top. You know, there's a children's book that we read to our kids. It was called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. All right? And our kids loved that book. And the worst thing I remember from that kid's day was that he got gum in his hair. And I don't know what else happened. But this day for David, wow. So if you ever think you've had a bad day, just try to fathom what David is feeling on this day. I mean, it's kind of unimaginable, really, a nightmare. This is the day we find the text, the one verse that I read for you. When as David is wondering how seriously they're talking of stoning him to death really is, what does he do? Verse 6, 1 Samuel 30 says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. That's the NIV. The New King James, which is more literal, says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. King James, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Folks, there's so much for us to learn from this one verse. And so as we think about what it means to find strength, to strengthen ourselves, to encourage ourselves in the Lord, let's take a look first at, in your outline there, the definition of strength that we're talking about here. It's not being able to lift a half ton. You know, and we can look at Hebrew words and dictionary definitions, but what this comes to here is even too deep for that. It goes beyond book definitions. You know, some things are just too deep for words, and we can only try to do our best to express what this means. This strength, this encouragement, this courage that he shows on what was likely the worst day of his life. Have you ever had a time when just everything against you was so big and so far beyond your ability to deal with that to say you were overwhelmed was really an understatement? I mean, I'm talking about something way beyond, you know, my alarm didn't go off today and I had a flat tire kind of stuff. I mean, some days like that can feel overwhelming, but then tomorrow is different, right? I'm talking about when tomorrow is worse, and the next day after that is worse yet. And for a long season, there is no end in sight, no solutions you can see. And I'm talking about world crashing in kind of stuff. When people find themselves in that place, we find different responses to that. Some people just totally spin out of control. You know, they run to alcohol and drugs or whatever will make you feel good in the moment and distract you for at least a small amount of time from the hopelessness of your situation. Other people won't do that, but they still crumble inside, and something inside of them just dies. And they live what Henry David Thoreau called lives of quiet desperation. They still go to work, they still do responsible things, but life has stolen their hope and their reason to live and their courage and their purpose. But there are some, like David, who go through unimaginable pain and frustration and loss, and they feel it, they express it, and I mean, few people express their pain as eloquently as David does in the Psalms. But strength, true courage, faces all of that and somehow refuses to let you spin out of control. It says, yeah, this is bad, and I hurt, but I am not going to just numb the pain, and I'm not going to resign myself to being neutralized inwardly by it. I am definitely not going to go the route of blaming God and getting bitter. Those who have true strength and courage are those who refuse to let the loss and the pain become their ultimate reality that overshadows everything else in life. No, these people, like David, have a firm grasp on the fact that there is something, or rather, there is someone that is bigger than their pain. And this is the point when it becomes a faith issue, folks. It becomes a faith issue. Do I believe that God is bigger than all this that is wrong around me and even within me? That's a question that might be easy to answer in theory, but if we're honest, when we're really in pain, that's a struggle to answer. Is God bigger than all this? True strength is when the whole world conspires to crush you, or at least it feels like it, but you refuse to let it because the presence of God inside you makes it impossible for you to be crushed. David found that strength, that kind of strength. But to further clarify, let's take a look, number two in your outline, what it doesn't depend on, all right? What this does not depend on. This kind of strength, we might make some wrong assumptions about what is required for us to have that kind of strength. Let's face it, we are usually most encouraged and strengthened by two things, at least. And the first is circumstances. We're encouraged when things go right, right? When you get that job you've been waiting for, when the good news comes from the doctor, or whatever thing that we're hoping will happen, when we find strength and we at least have some kind of evidence that what we are hoping for at least might happen, right? Circumstances that are going our way, that encourages us. I mean, let's be honest. Some days all it takes is nice weather, finding a parking spot in front of the store you're going to visit, and finding out that because you've purchased 5 cups of coffee at Sheetz, today is your day to get a free one, right? Some days that's all it takes to make me feel like, yeah, life is good. I can handle this. Circumstances. For David, at this point, David didn't have anything in the way of circumstances that was encouraging. Nothing. I mean, everything he cared about was gone. He didn't really know if this would be his last day to live on earth, if these guys really would turn on him and kill him. He found strength incredibly, even in that uncertainty. I mean, he had no good circumstances. But also, Even if they didn't kill him, he didn't know if he would ever see his family again. He didn't know if his wives and children were alive or not. And that leads us to the second thing that we are usually most strengthened by, for circumstances, then people. People. Because, you know what, even if circumstances are bad, if we have people who are always kind to us and encouraging and loving through the valleys, I mean, that's huge. It's a huge source of strength. I mean, you can have a really bad day and things totally falling apart, but if you come home to someone who reaches out to you and cheers you on and lets you know that you're loved, well, hey, you can handle just about anything. David didn't have that. That morning he did, but that night it was all taken away from him, completely gone. And so you might think, you know, I could be strong if circumstances were different or if people were different. I'm here to say you can be strong and you can be of good courage even without those things because of, number three, the secret of spiritual strength. All right, number three, the secret of spiritual strength. So again, it says David strengthened himself in the Lord, or David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What does that mean? It means he himself, apart from favorable circumstances, apart from positive human interaction, just him and God, that's it. And he reached down into his soul, into the core of his being, and he found the presence of the Almighty, and that was enough. He looked away from the world, turned away from all the pain and the loss, the total chaos that his world had become, and in his soul, he gazed upon the one who had made him a promise. God had promised him, I'm going to put you on the throne. I'm going to put you on the throne of your people. And he found there in that place, in his heart, focusing on God's truth, God's promise, he found a God that he could trust to keep his promises, no matter what things looked like right in front of him. He was able to do this apart from a worship service, no TV preacher, no Christian radio, no small group Bible study. I mean, it really was just him and God. David was able to shut out the negativity that was screaming at him. He turned away from the storm raging in his life, and he turned his inner being toward heaven, and he found a God who said, you know what? Nations rage, mountains fall into the heart of the sea, but in my presence, there is a peaceful stream. So you can be still and know that I am God. I am your rock. I am your fortress. I am your defender. I will not let you fall. David refused to look to some other source of strength. Maybe it's just that it wasn't there to look to. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. He really believed God is the only true source of the courage that he needed right then and there to go on. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. This is the secret of spiritual strength, being able to do this, being able to find your strength there without circumstances, without people that are helpful at the moment. That's the secret. Far too few people find it, though it's accessible to anyone. Here's what God often does. Sometimes God will isolate you. He'll pull you away from the normal sources of strength and encouragement. And that's terribly uncomfortable, even terrifying at times. Difficult seasons in the wilderness. But sometimes those things are necessary in order for you to discover this secret of inner spiritual strength. You don't find that strength if you never need it. Some people appear to be so strong and so confident, but it may be just because they've never been tested. They've never had those surface sources of strength stripped away. But those who've been there and endured and risen above, they know a secret that's worth more than gold. These are the people who can say with the psalmist, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That's a beautiful verse, really. Life may get so difficult physically and emotionally, I'm beat, but God is the strength of my heart. And he's it, and he's my portion. He's what I've got, and that's enough. Well, as David found that strength in the Lord, he also found guidance. He sought the Lord for direction about, what do I do now? You know, where do I go? He got the direction he needed, and he led his men. These men who were just talking about stoning him, he led them to where the enemy had taken their wives and their children. And David and the men fought hard. They won the battle. They got every single one of their family members back, plus all of their belongings. And that leads us to point number four, helping others find strength. Helping others find strength. You know, those around David evidently didn't have what he had, that secret of being able to strengthen yourself in the Lord. While he was getting encouragement from the Lord, they were still just reeling from the loss that they had experienced, and just they had no idea what to do. So David shared with them the direction that God had given him, and they all shared in the blessings of having everything returned back to them. David helped them find strength by offering them hope, first of all, right? By saying, hey, we're going to get our families back. And then direction by saying, you know what? Here's what we're going to do to get our families back. It's important to be there for others, to be that person who encourages them, literally gives them courage. By your kindness, by your uplifting words, by your support, your loving presence in their lives. I am so thankful for people who have been that for me. And many of you always have a smile for me, always encouraging, and that means so much. I thank you for that. But you know what? As much as we all need that, we need more than that. There will come a time when you can't be that for others. You are not omnipresent. You will not be able, no matter how much love and care you have for someone, you won't always be able to be there, always and forever, their source of strength. They need to be able to strengthen themselves in the Lord, their God. They can't depend on you ultimately. They need to do what David did for themselves, not through you. I mean, again, it's nice to have people depend on you. It's nice to make a difference for them. But if you really want what's best for someone, challenge them to find their encouragement ultimately in the Lord himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? To be an encourager, to be a source of strength, but don't try to take God's place for someone. That never goes well. They need more than you. And you can either work against that reality or work in agreement with that reality. And I recommend you work with God on that. In closing today, I have no doubt that some of you come here today feeling overwhelmed with life. You might cover it well with nice church clothes, but you feel you don't have what it takes to face whatever you're up against. You're facing battles you're not sure you can win. Maybe you're grieving losses that threaten to crush you, and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. If that's you, please know there is hope. God has strength and encouragement for you. But to get there, there's some things that I need to ask you to do. First, I need you to honestly answer this question for yourself. Am I really a follower of Jesus Christ? Is this relationship between me and him real? Apart from how often you were brought to church as a kid or any other thing that people often look to but really isn't all that relevant, do you really believe in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross, that it was for you? Son of God, Son of Man, his sacrifice really does make us children of God. If you are in any way unclear about that, please, please, we have to start there. And don't leave today without answering that question. And I'd love to talk to you about it if you have any questions. But if you are his and you've got that settled, then reach down into your faith. Past the circumstances, past the pain, the fear, whatever, reach down and find the rock right? The one who said, I am your rock. And then set the feet of your faith on that rock. You know what I mean by that, right? To just say, I know he's there, and I can rest my life on him and the faithfulness of God. Look through the fog and the distractions of life and see the face of God and to see that he's smiling at you. He is for you. He promises, if you look to him, he will carry you through. And now let's go further and believe that the Bible is true when it says that those of us who are the children of God, we will one day reign with Christ. As children of the King, we are royalty, right? Born to share the throne with Christ, as amazing as that is. And just like David, right? That was his destiny. He was destined for the throne, and so are we. God has promised to take you there, and he will get you there. You are an overcomer. You have strength in you that is greater than you know. You have the lion of the tribe of Judah within you. Let him roar. The Spirit of Almighty God lives within you, and he is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. In victory forever. His strength is yours. So bow your heads with me and let us strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you for David. Thank you for his life and his example. And thank you that the God that you were for him, you are that same God for us today. And Lord, we've talked about this secret of strengthening ourselves in the Lord, but Lord, make it reality in us. And God, I just pray especially for those that that really need this today, that, you know, whether it's circumstances or whether it's, you know, a lack of human love and support and encouragement, whatever we're facing, Lord, whoever needs encouragement, needs your strength today, God, may they feel deep in the depths of their soul the rock on which they can stand. And may they find a strength and encouragement that they didn't know was possible, apart from circumstances and people and the normal things that we look to for encouragement. God, be glorified in us. And just pour out, Lord, your grace and your presence in very real ways. And be glorified as we live out our faith and cling to you for all we're worth. In Jesus' name, amen.